Did your house look like this yesterday? Okay, show of hands, informal survey. Okay, how many of you were up before the light? How many of you went to bed before the light was still there? How many of you yesterday got a series of presents that had to be opened in a specific order? Because if you opened them out of order, either A, it wouldn't have made sense, or you would have spoiled the big one at the end. Did anybody get one of those? Okay. Did anybody watch somebody get one of those? Did anybody want to go, just open a third one already? Sometimes presents don't make sense until you sit back and see the whole scheme of things. Today we're going to be concluding our Christmas series, and Jesus is on the move. So we're going to be in the book of Matthew, chapter 2. If you want to get your copy of God's Word, we're going to be in Matthew, chapter 2. Remember, Luke was written from Mary's perspective, and the book of Matthew was written from Joseph's perspective. So we're switching it up this week as we finish our Christmas series from Joseph's point of view. Now, when they had gone, who is they? Well, they would be the wise men. Now, for sake of time, I can't talk about the wise men too much, so I'm going to assign you homework. Are you ready for homework? Yeah, good. One of you is. That's good. If you want to go to Luke chapter 2 and verses 20-24, it talks about Jesus being presented in the temple 8 days after his birth. Now, one thing I want to point out about the wise men is they came. Tradition says how many of them came? Three. Why three? Because they brought three gifts. They brought gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We don't know if it was just three, if it was more than three, but Scripture says there were three gifts that were brought. Mary and Joseph, according to Luke chapter 2, especially verse 24, tells us that they were extremely poor. They had little financial means. And yet God is orchestrating his plan to open certain gifts at certain times. And then when you step back and you see all that is happening, you go, wow, God, you are in control. All right, so the wise men, they have gone. If you want, most commentators say Jesus is probably around 6 months old. Now, I've been here for 6 months. Now, if I could sit up here and tell you, I think that he's this old, it means Scripture doesn't say. So we're not going to camp out and build a house on this, but also realize that Jesus is less than 2 years old. I'll get to that in a minute. So Jesus is somewhere around 6 months old when the wise men have come and gone. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph. Joseph is going to have a dream. And in this dream, the angel tells Joseph, get up and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt. Joseph and Mary are on the move again. So for sake of argument, Jesus is going to be 6 months old. So let's go back 6 months ago. They just went from Nazareth to Bethlehem because of the census. 6 months later, they're in Bethlehem. They are getting used to one another. If you remember when you had a child, boy, it took you about 18 years to get used to that child, right? You got used to the cadence. You got used to their love. You got used to them. They got used to you. So 6 months. They're still getting used to each other. Now this angel comes to Joseph and says, you need to move. It's time to go. And you're going to go to Egypt. Because why? Because Herod is going to destroy the child. So what does this look like? Bethlehem is the red arrow. Now most commentators They say that this line for Judea is the red dash. Now, some say that Jesus, he actually went the whole way over to Alexandria. I don't know. I don't know how far he went. I don't know where he is. No scholar is going to say 100% sure this is where he was. What we do know is that he was in Egypt because he had to get out of the reign of Herod because Herod is a very, very mean man. Cruel. Absolutely cruel. And he has one desire. He desires to kill Jesus. So if you go outside of his jurisdiction, then Jesus is safe. So they're going to go to Egypt. Because why? Herod is searching to destroy the child. It's interesting, one commentator went on this tangent, if you will, and he said, Herod killed his own family. He killed his favorite wife. How many did he have? He had 10. And he killed his favorite wife. He killed his son, at least one of them. He killed many noblemen. He even killed some of his governing body. Why? Because Herod is evil. Because Herod's one job is to make sure that he keeps his kingdom. And he will keep it by a reign of terror. If you stand in my way, my sword will move you. And so here comes the wise men. They've gone to Jesus in Luke chapter 2, or they've gone to Herod in Luke chapter 2 and talked about Jesus. And they said, we've come to worship the new king. That's a problem, because if there's a new king, there can't be a second king there. One of them has to go. And it's obviously not going to be Herod according to Herod's point of view. So he dispatches his guys, and he's going to try to kill Christ. God says that's not part of the plan. You need to go. One thing that really struck me about Joseph from this point of view and from his story is he's gotten things finally settled. They've gotten into a rhythm with life. They've got the cadence of Jesus. I've wondered, wonder with me for a minute, did Jesus never disobeyed. Just imagine having Jesus as your child. That would be amazing. So they've gotten used to Jesus. They've gotten used to his cadence. They've gotten used and they've gotten into the rhythm. They've gotten into the routine. Here comes the Lord and says, Joseph, it's time to go. It's time to move. And I was challenged by Joseph's response. But before I get to his response, Joseph has a choice. His choice or his decision to make is he going to follow the word of God? You see, in the Old Testament and even in the life of Christ, they didn't have God's completed word. So God would speak to them in dreams. Now, sometimes people come to me and say, Pastor, God's been speaking to me. And I say, okay, what's God been saying? And my filter that I use is to ask the question, has God's spoken word violated his written word? Because this is God's word. He never violates his written word. So if someone says to you, hey, God's been speaking to me. Okay, what's he been saying? And you listen, does it match up with God's written word? Does it match up with what is written in the Bible? One question that I was challenged with in my studies this week was, am I listening to the voice of God? You see, there's so many voices out here in today's society. There's so many people to listen to. And sometimes I can't hear God through all the noise. I believe that God speaks to us through his word. It's God's written word. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. I really do believe that this is God's word. I hope that you believe it too. And I believe that God speaks to me through this word. He points out places in my life that I'm doing well in. He points out places in my life that I need to grow in. But this is God's word. Am I spending time with God, listening to him speak through his written word? Now, you know the rest of the story. It's a question I ask. And I ask it kind of in jest. What would have happened if Joseph would have said no? Joseph never said no. Joseph was always listening to the voice of God. He was tuned in to what God was saying. So Joseph got up. God said, go. He said, I'll go. Go up, and he took the child and his mother while it was still night, and he left for Egypt. So many times we read American Christianity into God's word. Joseph, it does not say here, and I'm not being funny, I'm really bringing a point home. Joseph did not go to the Penske truck and rent the U-Haul to take his stuff. Joseph heard from the angel, leave. Joseph left immediately with whatever he could take. Everything else he left behind. He left in the cover of darkness while it was still night, and he left for Egypt. All right, this is something that struck me. Mary and Joseph are poor and humble. Agreed? Okay. Who just got done visiting Mary and Joseph and Jesus? The wise men. What did the wise men bring? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Hold on. Guess what's going to fund their trip to Egypt? The gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. It's almost like they knew that God knew that there were certain gifts that needed to be opened at certain times because God has a plan. So take the child, leave in a cover of darkness while it's still night, go to Egypt. He remained there until the death of Herod. About 6 or 7 years, they stayed in Egypt. They lived there for 6 or 7 years. I'll come back to that in a minute. Actually, like 10. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophets. Before we go any further, I have homework for you. Again, I'm not going to check, but it's a challenge. I want you to go this afternoon, once you get into your new jammies that you got for Christmas, with your slippers that you got for Christmas, drinking your cup from the coffee cup you got for Christmas. I'm saying what I got for Christmas. And I want you to go through your Bible and do one of two things. I either want you to get a pen or a highlighter. And I want you to write or copy or highlight every time it says what has been spoken by the Lord through the prophets, or what was spoken through the prophets, or as God had foretold. Let's just say you use pink. Highlight every time it says in the book of Matthew or Luke, the prophets said. And then look how much pink is going to be highlighted in your Bible. Friends, God is in control. Friends, God has a plan, and he knows what is happening. I would submit to you, Joseph's not all thrilled about moving again, but yet he knows that God is in control. And I'm challenged, first of all, because Joseph is listening to the voice of God. But he doesn't just listen, friends. He takes it the next step, and he lives in obedience to God's word. I would submit to you, I will only speak to my own life. I don't have a problem hearing God. I have a problem obeying God. Because God has spoken very clearly in his word. The heart issue for me is, am I willing to listen and then put into practice? Or am I more likely to say, oh, that's more of a suggestion? How about you? Are you willing to walk in obedience to what God has called you to do? So Joseph, he was there, and Herod is very, very upset. Herod saw that he had been tricked by the Magi. Your second piece of homework this afternoon, once you're in your slippers, in your jammies with your cup of coffee, is to go back and read Luke's account. And the Magi were told by Herod, you come back so that I can worship the Lord. How is he going to worship the Lord? He wants to kill him. But he doesn't know where the Messiah is. He's relying on the Magi as their spy. The Magi were told in a dream by the Lord, stay away from Herod. So they avoided Herod. Herod found out. Herod's angry, and he's going to start swinging his sword. Remember, he's killed his favorite wife, his sons, his noblemen. And the commentators have even said, it is better to be Herod's swine than it is to be Herod's son. And Herod is going to take matters into his own hands, and he becomes angry. So very, very angry. And sent and slew all the male children. He went on a genocide to kill all of the baby boys in Bethlehem. How sad, how devastating for this little town. And not just Bethlehem, and all of its vicinity. So he didn't just focus on Bethlehem. He didn't paint with a very narrow brush. He painted with a broad stroke. He didn't just stop at 6 months. He went to the whole way to 2 years old and younger. That's why when you get commentators, we don't know. We don't know how old Jesus was at this time. We know that he's more than 8 days old from Luke chapter 2 and verse 24. We know he's less than 2 years old because that's where Herod cut off. So Herod went and executed all of those baby boys. Three messages I could have taken from this. The first one, persecution. All those baby boys, all those families didn't do anything wrong. And yet they were persecuted and died because of Christ. Second one I thought of was just the difference in response to baby Jesus. The wise men have come and brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Herod's coming with a sword to kill Christ. The third one I thought of is Christmas is not always joyful for everybody. Christmas is sometimes sad and sorrowful. So, all the baby boys, 2 years old and under, according to the time which was determined by the Magi. So Herod went and told them what had been spoken of the Jeremiah the prophet. Hey, Jeremiah talked about this. If you're doing your homework, you should have just underlined another key phrase in verse 17. Jeremiah the prophet had said this. He said, a voice was heard in Ramah, great weeping and mourning. God knew that this was going to happen. And there is something that we want to know, the unanswerable question. You know what that is? Why? Well, I can explain to you, or at least try to explain why. I can go into evil, I can go into sin, I can go back to the Garden of Eden and trace it through. But for this story, it just, if you will, doesn't fit. Because God is in control. And amidst the chaos, and amidst the devastation, God is working out his plan. You cannot stop what God has started. And God has sent Jesus to be the Savior of the world. And Herod doesn't want a king. So he's doing all that he can do in his own power to cause weeping and great mourning. So, verse 19. But when Herod died, 6 or 7 years later, Let's just go with 7. It's easier for math. When Herod died 7 years later, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. So they've been in Egypt for 7 years. How long were they in Bethlehem? Well, some would say 6 months. 6 months in Bethlehem, up and uprooted to go to Egypt. 7 years they are in Egypt. They've got a home. They've got a homestead. He's got work. He's got employment. Jesus is now 6 or 7 years old. And here again comes an angel and says to Joseph, it's time to go. It's time to leave Egypt. Get up, take up the child and his mother Mary, and go to the land of Israel. It's time to move again. Joseph, he's living in obedience to what God has said and said, I will go. I thought about Joseph. There have been times in my life, and I would dare say times in your life, that you have listened to God and you have just grown in your reliance upon the Lord. True statement? There have been times where you have looked out and said, this is not going according to plan. And you start to pray. You start to lean heavily on God and His Word. You start praying more fervent prayers than you have ever, ever prayed. And if you're a parent, you're agreeing with me right now. So Joseph, he's growing in his reliance upon God. The more you rely upon God, the closer you get in your relationship with the Lord. Here comes Joseph out of the middle of nowhere. Hey, Joseph, you got to leave Bethlehem. You got to go, bud. It's time to get out. And he goes. God, where are we going? You're going to Egypt. Hey, take the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. And I just wonder if Joseph went, wow, God, you certainly are good and you certainly are in control. So he goes to Egypt. He's there for 7 years. He's got his livelihood. He's got his career. He's got his family. He's got his network of friends. Hey, it's time to go back to Israel. Okay, God, I'm relying upon you. My relationship with you is strong. And the third thing he realizes, God has a plan. And I would submit to you this morning, friends, that the more we rely upon God, the more we remember his faithfulness, the more we realize that God is in control. And I would say that does not happen until we go through the deep, dark valleys of life. Because in the deep, dark valleys of life is when we look up and we say to God, help. But when life is going well, we're on cruise control and we don't pay attention. But when you hit ice on that road and your car starts fishtailing, you start saying, Jesus, take the wheel. And I'm out. You've got to get control. So Joseph has this resilience, this faith, and this relationship on the Lord. So God says through the angel, take the child and his mother. Go to the land of Israel. For what? For those. Not just one. Many people are looking to kill Christ. For those who sought the child's life, they are gone. Herod is dead and gone. His reign of terror is over. Remember, we've been waiting for the Prince of Peace. The people of Israel, they were looking for someone with military strength, somebody to come in and take Herod out, end his rule of terror and fear, and come in and be the Prince of Peace. They were looking for someone militarily. They got someone to do that spiritually. So you understand and see how much fear was in the people of Israel. So Joseph, he lived in obedience. Again, what if Joseph would have said, no, I'm not interested. Thanks for the suggestion. I'll get back to you. No, Joseph, he lived in obedience to what God told him. So he got up, he took the child and his mother, and he came to the land of Israel. He came back into the land. But when he heard that Archelaus, good news and bad news, good news, actually bad news first. I always take bad news, by the way. Bad news is Archelaus is from his father, Herod. Everything he learned about ruling a kingdom, he learned from his father, Herod. Archelaus, scholars tell us, he went and killed 3,000 people just to make sure people knew that he was king. That's the type of dictatorship that Archelaus is doing. What's the good news? God's in control. God is in control. So Archelaus was reigning over Judea in the place of his father Herod. He was afraid to go there. Why? Because Archelaus was a bad guy. And he had it out for Jesus. So they're on this road to Egypt. Wherever they are in Egypt, they cross back over. They don't go to the Red Arrow, which is Bethlehem and Judea, because of Archelaus. Jesus could be killed. His life could be ended. So they go up north to the Blue Arrow. They go up to the place of Nazareth. When were we last in Nazareth? Well, we were there when Mary and Joseph left. How long ago did they leave? 7.5 years. A lot has happened in 7.5 years. Mary left 9 months pregnant. She's returning with a 7-year-old son. You think they have a lot to talk about? Just imagine. Some of you were together with family for the first time in a year or two, and you've got a lot to catch up on. But you've been FaceTiming, Skyping, Zooming, and phone calling. You might even take up the lost art of letter writing just to make sure you're connected. Are you with me? Great, nobody's letter writing. That's okay. But listen, for 7.5 years, Mary and Joseph are gone. And now they return to Nazareth with Jesus to return. I wonder what Mary said to her mom. Hey, mom, you better get a big pot of tea ready because I got a lot to tell you. And Joseph talking to his family as they recount the faithfulness of God. My goodness, how quick 8 years just went by. 7 to 8 years. Woo, that went by fast. Some of you that are grandparents are saying, boy, time's just going by so much faster. Some of you that are trying to have a baby sleep through the night, you're saying time can't go by fast enough. 7 years, 8 years since they have gone to Nazareth. It's too dangerous down in here. They have to go up here because of Archelaus. And they came and they lived in a city called Nazareth. This was to fulfill what the prophets, did you get your pink highlighter out again? That's the third time in this message in the last 8 verses. God has a plan. God is fulfilling his word. Do you believe that that's true today as well? I do. God is in control. So this was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophets. Behold, he shall be called a Nazarene. The city of Nazareth, it's a very interesting place to live. I did a little bit of study on Nazareth. I'm not going to share all that I studied, but I wanted to share some of the highlights. Nazareth has a certain reputation. It has a reputation of being a rough town with really rude and crude people. They were violent and they were dishonest. And yet, where does God place Jesus to grow up? Right in the place that needs it the most. And I spent some time thinking and I spent some time pondering and praying through this question. Am I willing to minister where I'm located. You see, friends, what happens is sometimes we get so focused on where we want to be. Maybe this morning you woke up, or maybe this afternoon between your homework sessions that you're doing, you're going to start the fun task of making up your New Year's resolutions. Some of you can't wait to get out of 2021. Some of you can wait to get into 2022. And we get so focused on where we want to go and what's next, what's next, what's next, what's next, we forget to slow down and live in the moment. We forget to slow down and be still and know that He is God. And here comes Jesus, the Son of God, living and ministering in Nazareth, the place that's filled with rude, crude, violent, and dishonest people, the very ones that need to know about the gospel. That's why it says later on in the Gospels that Nathan said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Really? Nazareth? That place? And I was so challenged by that, because Jesus ministered to where He was called. And I wonder if you are willing to minister where you're called, right here, right now. Well, what about 2 years from now? Well, I don't even know what's happening in 2 weeks. What about 2 months? How about right here and right now? Are you willing to minister where God has called you to minister? Because God put Christ right in the hub of the very place that needs Christ the most. Are you willing to minister? It was exciting to have my first Christmas Eve at Cross Point. Good crowd came out. And I looked out and I thought, there's a lot of people that have come. There's a lot of people that need to hear about the gospel. And I looked out and I was excited that they all came to hear and celebrate the birth of Christ. But I was also challenged to go, who's going to help minister? Who's going to step up and say, I will help? Are you willing to minister where you're located? The three questions. Question one, are you listening to the voice of God? Are you spending time in His word as God speaks to you through His written word? Are you willing to live in obedience when God has spoken to you? Are you willing to take that not as a suggestion, but as a command? And then third of all, are you willing to minister where you're located? Maybe this afternoon, you're going to sit down and do New Year's resolutions. I would challenge you to start with this story. Am I going to read my Bible this year? Am I going to spend time in God's Word? How long? Don't misunderstand. Just spend time with God. If you say 5 minutes, you'll only do 5 minutes. But take time to know God and grow in your relationship with Him. What about living in obedience? It's one thing to know, it's the next step to obey. Walk in obedience to what God has called you to do. And then minister to where you are. Minister to the place that God has called you. He's given you passions and talents to be able to minister. What would it take for you to spend time with God, to walk in obedience to God, and then to serve God in 2022? Let's close our time in a word of prayer. You get to know what I have learned and studied this week. I just wonder if I could pray for any of you this week. Is there anything that God has put on your heart that you'd say, Tom, would you pray for me? Is there anybody here? I'm not looking to call you out. I hope you know my heart by now. I'm not looking to embarrass you or to call you forward. I just want to pray for you as one of the pastors here. So is there anybody here that says, would you pray for me? Because I do. I know I need to spend time in God's word. Would you pray that I have that desire and then make that time? Would you pray for me this week? I see that hand. Thank you. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 hands. 8 hands. Is there anybody here that says, would you pray for me that I want to spend time in God's word, but I want to live in obedience? I need to walk in obedience. Would you pray that I would not just be hearers, but that I would also be living in obedience? Would you pray for me today? Is there anybody here? See that hand. Thank you. 2, 3 hands. Is there anybody here that would say, would you pray for me? Because I want to serve the Lord. I don't know where, I don't know how, but I just want to serve where I am located, and I am located here. I see that hand. Thank you. 2 hands. Thank you. Lord, I'm so thankful for your word. Thankful for the story of Jesus. The truth that it has, that you were in control. You took all those gifts and you lined them up that they were opened one at a time, and it made perfect sense at the end of the story. And we're so thankful that throughout Scripture, you continue to remind us that you are in control and you have a plan. Lord, I pray for us that we would take time to spend in your word. Help us to listen to your voice as you have written it in the Bible. God, give us a desire, give us time, and give us a hunger for your word. As we get ready to turn a new calendar year, may we return back to spending time with you. That we would desire to grow our relationship with you. And Lord, help us to continue to walk in obedience. As we spend time with you, we know more about you. Help us to walk in obedience to what you have called us to do. And Lord, as we spend time in your word and we walk in obedience to you, you're going to equip us and tool us for ministry. Help us to minister where we are located. Lord, help us to minister here because there is a group of people in Bangor, Maine, and surrounding areas that so desperately need to hear about the gospel of Jesus Christ. The good news that Jesus was born so that he could die. So Lord, as you have us strategically located here, may we minister to further your gospel across the street and across the sea. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen.